And we are live and we are back. Let's go. I'm Corey, your host. One half of the Corner Full of Pet Podcast. I'm back like I never left with another installment of Money Mindset here on the Corner Full of Pet Podcast. We discuss health and wealth, finance and fitness and everything in between. We want to make sure you save more and say less and keep making better your best. Yes, yes. And I know y'all see the topic of today's video. We've been talking about how much money people need in short over the last couple episodes, retirement. And this buying a car. This time we're going to get back into the housing market. We're going to get into some mortgage interest rates and why people need to earn a lot more money than they used to at the start of the pandemic. Again, recording early in the morning, like all these different things I'm doing to my schedule. After we do this episode, we're going to get into how much money people need to live in every state based off a family of four, then based off a if they're single, then based off the top five cities if they're single. So we're going to get into a lot of what's the current state of how much money you need to make it here in the United States of America. And I want to be clear, for most people, whether they like it or not, that number is closer to probably $250,000 in the major cities and, you know, the most the states that cost the most to live in than $100,000, or let alone the median household income, which I think is around $70,000. I think I'm pretty sure I've been telling you for years, you need to make at least 100%. So whatever the median household income is of the state that you live in, just for, you know, state numbers, that's how much you need to make if you're single. So if you're two people, right, and you get married, you're both working, that means you're both single. So if the number is $100,000, that means you got to make $200,000 if you're married. All right, if you're married and single in the state of Maryland, Montgomery County, PG County, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, there's those type of areas, 200K is like the bare minimum, and that's with no debt and no kids, married. You'll need to make a little bit more if you're single because you're paying that highest tax rate, all right? But that's it, y'all. Y'all know what y'all need to do, though, before we get started. Make sure y'all comment, like, share, and subscribe. Shout out to the YouTube algorithm. Make sure you leave those rating reviews on the podcast platforms as well. My information as well as my code Jordan information can be found in the description. All right, you can reach out to Jordan for the fitness information and myself for the financial information, all right? No monthly car payment this check. No monthly car payment check this month. Speaking of car payments, this is the last month. This is the last day my wife, well, technically my wife and I have a car payment tomorrow because we're paying the car off tomorrow when we go to the credit union where we have this work event to go to. But got the car a year ago. We're literally paying the car off a year from the day we got it. Last year, we got her car the same day we had the work event on a Saturday, and we was crazy late because we had to get the car, drive back, then had to go back to the credit union because they wouldn't take the type of check, yada, yada. And now we're paying it off in the same type of situation, all right? But student loans, again, we if I do this every week, I guess there's not going to be that much turn up or heat up in the presidential race. But, you know, we're going to be there soon. We're going to see what they're going to talk about when it comes to these student loans. All right. And last but not least, y'all, this is for entertainment purposes only. Myself, no Jordan, I've been in finance professionals. Anything you hear is for entertainment purposes only. And you need to seek out a professional and do your own research before taking any action. All right. Let's get into it, y'all. Home buyers need to earn more. And by the way, for this episode and the next episode, we going to Own Faithful. We going back to CNBC. All right, so let me go and get the screen share real quick. Boom. All right, and yes, yeah, when it's taken out of context, coming when is the solo version of podcast files, don't worry about that. All right, I'm almost done with my wife's VA claim. Realize we need to do a supplemental claim. That's neither here nor there. Maybe I'll talk about that later. Here we go, though. I'm trying to make this a better editing process for myself. Home buyers need to earn 80% more than in 2020. 80% is pretty much 100%. So in less than short than 4 or 5 years, however you want to look at it, home buyers essentially need to earn double to afford a house in this market. It's not just due to high mortgage rates. I'm interested to see what afford means in this case. All right. This is by Anna Teresa Sola. This is published March 12, 2024 and last updated that same day. All right, factors beyond high mortgage rates are affecting housing affordability for many Americans, according to experts. I always got to make sure I can hear myself because that one time I recorded where it was muted. All right, the connection between housing costs and wages has been gradually separating, not gradually separating over the years. I guess over the years gradually, but I mean, there's a wide gap right now. According to CDOT Cabero Jackson, an economist and member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, simply, the number of housing units built throughout the years has been declining by definition because we're running out of space where people want to live is we're running out of space. They're going more vertical now than horizontal. And the low supply is rooted in restrictive land use and zoning regulation, according to experts. Yes, to build a house, so many loops you got to jump through. Factors beyond high mortgage rates are affecting housing affordability for many Americans, according to experts. Almost 4 years ago, household earning $59,000, almost $60,000 annually, could afford a new mortgage without spending more than 30% of their monthly income and with a 10% down payment. Who was putting 10% down? And 30% of your monthly income was that net, so $60,000. That's five. Let's call it $5,000. Without spending more than $1,500. Okay, Zillow Group. That is no longer the case. I don't think this was the case. This is what the numbers were, but people weren't making $59,000, $60,000 and putting 10% down so that they only have a $1,500 payment on a 30-year fix, which is what I'm assuming they're talking about here. While the typical household in 2024 makes about $81,000 a year, up from $66,000 in 2020. Okay, it's $81,000 now, I guess, for 2024. Wages have not kept up with housing costs. When have they? Over the last, 30, 40 years, they probably haven't. We've seen that decline. Since January of 2020, the typical mortgage payment on a typical home in the U.S. has nearly doubled. True, says Orfi Divoga, a senior economist at Zillow. Nowadays, a potential home buyer need to make about $106,000, over six figures a year in order to afford a typical home, an 80% increase from January 2020, according to Zillow. Why aren't they telling us what the home price is? Anyways, the connection between housing costs and wages has been gradually separating. We talked about that. Around the mid-90s, you start seeing, that's at 30, 40 years, housing prices sort of separate from the median wages in a way that kind of made housing less and less affordable for people who are in the market. As you start getting to the 90s, baby boomers are all in their 30s at least. And so with the baby boomers at the time, the baby boomers haven't given birth yet to Gen X or the millennials, but baby boomers being the larger generation at the time, all the wealth that the baby boomers have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these various things. I mean, baby boomers still did go through the inflation of the 80s. Baby boomers had to deal with double-digit interest rates. But as you see that economic transition of how much wealth the baby boomers began to accumulate, it makes sense why you start seeing some of these houses prices increase. Other thing, too, is how much progress we made just from the technological front as well. So many more things I've always mentioned that we didn't even have to pay for, right? Let alone that used to be luxuries and then now transition to necessities, and short, like a cell phone, right? It used to be everybody didn't have a cell phone. Now everyone has a cell phone. It used to be you had maybe one computer, right? Your family room or somebody's room. Now everyone has a computer and everyone might have an iPad computer. And when I say computer, a desktop and a laptop, right? Now there's all these various pieces of technology or things, in short, that we spend money on a monthly/yearly basis, that if you didn't scale your income to keep up with that, you're not going to be able to keep up with the quote unquote averages. And we're talking about here the average costs or average amount of money people need to buy a home. More supply helps keep down prices. In theory, yes, economics. All right, tight supply is another reason behind unaffordability. Fewer homes available in the market for would-be buyers keep real estate prices elevated. In some local markets, the shortage makes prices climb higher. Yes, supply and demand, this might be what you learn on the first day of your economics class. In short, as supply goes up, then it's supposed to lower the price. As demand goes down, it's supposed to increase the price. That's just like a real short version of, economics. But the other thing, too, is speaking of, they're talking about what people need to make in comparison to 2020, at the start of Panorama, we're still recovering from that supply shortage. Still recovering. The Key Bridge did go out here in Maryland, right, in Baltimore. So that's, I think it was maybe top 20, top 25. I forgot what it was, but Baltimore is a major port city. So the supply chain issues that we're dealing with during 2020, during the pandemic, we are still recovering from that. And it was well known what the supply chain issues did to the housing market. So who knows how long it'll be till we get to a point where they're back to making houses at the rate they were making due to the supply chain issue being corrected. And then on top of that, what prices will go down to because of that. Talking about TikTok, ongoing TikTok stalemate. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen with TikTok? The number of new housing units built throughout the years has been declining, and the new low supply rooted in restrictive land use and zoning regulations, according to expert slopes. When it comes to restricted land use, you got to get out and go to your local elections. It's that simple. The federal government has, I would say, little to no power on what comes down to how you can actually build, you know, in your local area. And this, when I say local elections, not even at the state level, this comes all the way down to the county. All right, you got the federal government, then you got your state government. Then if you live in a major city or if you live in a county, you got whoever's in charge of that. That's what that comes all the way down to. So a lot of times it's your county executive or whatever it's called, the person in charge of your county. Those type of people are the ones who are in charge. And on top of that, when you're actually trying to get something done, you got to deal with a bureaucracy. So you might have people who you voted in, or you might not have voted in, but people who were voted in to create these laws or these zoning regulations. But then when you actually go to figure out how they work, you got to go to someone who's just hired by the local government. All right. So, you know, that's why people need to be better at their job, because people have to deal with you. All right. So some of y'all just suck at your job. I'm like, get better at your job. Anyways, if we have a supply problem, we really need to have a supply solution. Oh, thanks. What is that? Dio Von guy? I don't know how to pronounce that. Land use and building regulations across the country make it difficult in some markets to build new homes. And the most important way to improve affordability is to construct more housing in the U.S., he said. Yes and no. Just because, see, that's assuming that people want the houses that you're saying they're going to construct. Do people want more single homes, single family homes, or people want more townhomes? And do they want the homes that people are designing? It all depends on the area. If you live in Maryland, look, they still building out here and the prices are still going up. There's a whole bunch of land here in Maryland. That might not be where you want to live at. Right? They're now going down in Charles County, then is it Frederick County, but out into the, you know, Western Maryland, past Howard County and west of Baltimore County. There's still places to build. I mean, who knows what land is available across the Bay Bridge, because like nobody, you know, we don't care that much about that part of Maryland. Shout out to the Bay Bridge and Eastern Shore. But there's still places as far as where land is highly available, not readily, but highly available. People just don't want to live there, partly because they've yet to build houses out there, slash that means there's nowhere for these businesses to have people come and spend money on them. So one could say, all right, let's build some houses out here, start building businesses out here, and we can just stretch out, and then we can make places less dense and things like that. But, you know, people still want to live in these major cities. That just kind of is what it is. I think for people who don't live in not just a major city, but one of the major cities, meaning you don't live in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore metropolitan area, you don't live in somewhere like, you know, Miami or New York, Boston, Chicago, L.A., right, San Fran. One of the top places that would be considered like the 24-hour type of cities, you don't have the ultimate perspective. There are places like Charlotte, like Detroit, Atlanta, one of the major popular cities, Houston, right? I mean, a lot of cities, but if you're not living in the top places like that, you're not there yet in understanding just how busy, how much stuff costs, how competitive it is, even though stuff is, you know, due to the internet technology now, remote work, stuff is competitive on a global landscape. But just when we're seeing, like, you know, we need more land and building regulations, stuff is not going down here in Maryland. Stuff is continuously going up. I don't know. I don't care what any chart says, if we've had some decline, prices are continuing to go up across the board. And now gas is continuing to go up as well, which sucks. They're starting to get to $4 on regular. It's like, what is happening? Filling my wife's tank. And I'm like, maybe we should start walking. All right. Yeah, I mean, build houses that people want. All right, then there's a proper planning on make sure you have enough children, because a lot of times people buy a house and then they outgrow the house as far as population wise. We have a growing economy. We have a growing population. Speaking of growing population, I don't read these articles at a time. As your population grows, you have to build more housing to accommodate the growth and population. True, but housing that, like, I mean, apartments are housing too, right? Then people have rental homes. We can talk about how all these institutions now buying rental homes, buying more than individuals, right? I mean, there's all these different type of factors right now. To increase housing supply, local policymakers would need to lower the barriers for builders by easing land use and zoning regulations. Yeah, my wife and I look at some land, and these people weren't able to get to their house, so they made an exception for them to build a driveway, but their driveway went to the other, you know, piece of land, and the driveway is huge. So in short, they took like probably almost like half of the available land that isn't their land, but the county made an exception so that they could build a driveway because they weren't able to get to the house. It's like, oh my goodness, like, why'd you let them build this house in the first place? There was no way to get to it. Anyways, Yes, get zoning and land use regulations, get all that type of stuff, which determine factors like maximum height of a building or the minimum size of a lot. Right, Jackson said, for example, some local areas may say you can't construct buildings more than three stories high in a particular area, which means high-rise buildings that could house about 100 people are out of the question. See, we're talking about apartments here. No more than three stories. What is three stories? Look, they got, three stories is nothing. All right, I mean, again, it's easier to go vertical than horizontal. I mean, there's only so much land to go horizontal on. Instead, you have to have a house that maybe has five people, Jackson said. The more supply you have helps keep prices down. So the more housing that you make available, the more that's going to sort of ease price pressures. See, the assumption is that the more housing is going to keep prices down if the people who are building and making money off of the sell of these houses, or people who are buying these houses, these new houses, and choosing to rent them, aren't asking for more money. Like, you can't, the one thing with, you know, economics is you can't force people to set prices. The capitalist economy, capitalism is supposed to help you with that. But if people want to set crazy prices, they set that. And housing is a necessity as far as only so much land. And people can go crazy, as we've seen with the panorama, when it comes to buying houses. House fever is insane in America. While increasing the housing density in an area can boost affordability, land use and zoning regulations, which inherently determines an area's housing supply, is often decided at a local. I don't read these articles ahead of time. See, you don't need to be an economist that works with people to tell you these things. You can just listen to me and I'll tell you these things. Anyways, if you really wanted to expand the housing supply, okay, we keep saying this. One of the most immediate ways one could do that would be ease of owners, okay, zoning on regular restrictions, right? But wouldn't that make things possibly more competitive, thus driving up the price? So that's the one thing we don't talk about is, never mind. Because there might be pent up demand. And then also if the price of the goods to build these houses is not going down, I mean, look, these construction companies that are building these houses need to make a profit so they continue to stay in business and make more houses. All right. And shout out to inflation. Stuff doesn't get cheaper over time. All right. And allow construction of affordable housing areas that currently would not be allowed under local land use rules. See, affordable housing in areas would be based off of how much money people make in that general area. But that might not be enough money for that construction company to turn a profit. Gentrification. That's the part. If the average income is, let's just say, $75,000 in this area, but for the construction company to make money in this area where people make on average $75,000, they need people to make $100,000. What do you think? What's about you think is about to happen? I mean, that's a small way to summarize, you know, gentrification, a poor way. But I mean, it's like, look, we need to make money, so this is what the price is. I mean, we want to stay in business. Remember, you're more important than everybody else. I feel like people tend to forget that sometimes. Some areas have already begun to see a boom right in new housing inventory due to relaxed zoning rules. Markets that allow builders to make smaller attached homes as opposed to detached single family housing are seeing a surge in new construction, like markets in the South. Yeah, but you don't want to create a situation where you make all these homes that people can't put families in. Even if, you know, townhomes, you can still have a family in. We don't want to make it so it's a two bedroom, one bath, or two bedroom, two bath. Like that, you can't put a family in a two bedroom. You can only have one kid then. And with so many people having remote work jobs, people are looking to have either that extra basement space or that extra quote unquote office or room, right? So if you got a family of four, now sure, you might need a four or five bedroom because both parents are work from home now. Some people don't want their kids to, you know, go to school, right? So now you might need some space to teach your kids as far as a homeschool perspective. There's all these other factors than just, you know, build more houses. All right, markets that have more restrictive land use regulations, zoning rules, are markets where you're not seeing the type of new construction necessary to keep up with demand. Okay. While local zoning rules are not under the federal government's control, as I've already said this before, that administration is working toward local areas to be more flexible by providing financial incentives. Okay, yes, to give money to help developers build more affordable housing. We have a growing economy. Okay, we already read that quote. All right, y'all. That's it. Locked and loaded. End of the episode. Again, home buyers need to earn 80% more than in 2020 to afford a house in this market. It's not just due to high mortgage rates. Yeah, they didn't even talk about mortgage rates on here. I want to be very clear. Necessity's that famous investment lifestyle. When it comes to buying a house, it just costs what it costs. We can't say that we need to make it so the builders, these construction companies that are building these houses, they have a bottom line and they need to get a certain amount of money out of these houses that they're building. And that equates to a certain income for people, right? Or they can, you know, people can not qualify from it. Once they qualify, not from a loan perspective, but they might not meet the income threshold in my $75,000, $100,000 equation, but they can save up enough money if you're making $75,000 and put enough money down to lower that payment, right? So you're still giving the construction company the same amount of money, but you know, you just have more saved up, right? You're not gonna be able to qualify for the loan because you don't make a high enough income for it. There are many factors that millennials and Gen Z are dealing with, even some people in Gen X who are trying to buy, you know, their second home, or baby boomers are trying to buy, when I say their quote unquote their forever home, but their retirement home. There's still so many factors that come into play. Schooling, where people want, I mean, schools are crazy, not like just from a homeschool perspective, but like safety in schools, right? Where people want to go to. Like I said, the stuff that's around those various areas, there's so many things that people look for now when they're buying a home or looking to get into real estate. But again, think about on social media how much getting into real estate was popularized during the panorama. So if we have more people who own, right, as far as landlords, there's going to be less people who are going to be able to own, you know, as their primary residence. That's just how that works until we get, if there's a shortage, right, then all the institutional investors came in. Right. So in short, if there was a big promotion of, hey, we need a whole bunch of people to become landlords, right, to buy homes and townhomes, you know, duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, whatever it is, to rent out to people without building homes for those people eventually to stop renting in and go buy. Well, yeah, there's going to be a significant shortage and prices are going to go up. Right. Because rent goes up over time. Your mortgage payment is going to be fixed as far as the principal interest, taxes, you know, insurance go up. You get the 100% P&T, right? You want to be a veteran and get, you know, I don't worry about paying property tax no more. Another conversation for another day. But those are these factors that weren't mentioned in this article. All right. But that's it, y'all. Locked and loaded. End of the episode. Make sure you comment, like, share, and subscribe. Shout out to the YouTube algorithm. Make sure you leave those rating reviews on the podcast platforms as well. My information, as well as my co-host Jordan information, can be found in the description. Jordan is Stop Stalling Jay on socials. His business page is finallyfit.live, where we can go to sign up for the virtual training sessions on Monday and Wednesday at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For myself, Silent Underscore Corey, you can reach out to me for the financial coaching information. All right. That's it, y'all. Again, we're going to get into, so we're talking about, you know, retirement, car payment, how much money people need to make from a housing standpoint. Now we're going to get into how much money does it actually cost? And that's what I've been saying for years now. Like, instead of, you know, what all these various numbers are, how much you would invest, just accept how much it costs right now. People complaining about how high inflation is, or how much stuff is increasing from an overall, just in general price standpoint, not even inflation, but just the straight up how much it costs out here to do stuff, how much it costs to go outside. And we're going to get into it from a family of four perspective in every state, a single person from every state. And then we're going to get into a single person in the top 25 major cities. I'm telling y'all, that number is closer to a quarter million than you think. In some places, when we get into family of four, it's going to be probably over a quarter of a million in the higher states, because it just is what it is. And when you start breaking down these numbers, and you know, when I start talking about, well, if you got to invest 15%, if you want to do a college fund, all these different type of things, I mean, most people who make over a quarter million dollars, $300,000, $400,000, they don't want, not that they should or shouldn't, but they don't want to be driving around here in a Honda, Toyota. They'd rather at least drive in the luxury version, Acura or the Lexus. I mean, these are conversations we need to have, but that's it, y'all. Locked and loaded, end of the episode. Remember to save more and say less. Keep making better your best. And I'll catch y'all in the next one.